Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And I'm here as always with my friend and my colleague and my co-host, Ross Ferguson. You've been traveling lately? Last time we talked to you, came back from Chicago.
Yeah, came back from Chicago. Have we been somewhere recently? Oh, we went in central Missouri. I was officiating a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And upcoming, so I've already been here when you're listening to this podcast. I'm heading to Corpus Christi in Texas.
That's right. For our friend Justin's.
Sure, youth conference. Yeah. And then me and you are both going to Iowa.
Yeah, you know what I'm excited about there, although I'm very also intrigued about how it's going to work out. We're doing a live podcast recording. We're going to do a couple of episodes that will appear here and on the podcast feed of live at this conference.
Do you know, I was thinking about this, that we are going somewhere else to do a live podcast. But we haven't even done one at the FTC conference yet. So those higher ups that might or may be listening, Dr. Sakura, if you could maybe, you know, make that happen.
I don't know that Dr. Sakura has anything to do with the FTC conference. He might maybe put a bug in Dr. Allen's ear, but I don't know.
But no, I'm excited about it too. I think we're probably going to do something like a mailbag or something like that.
Yeah, we'll start with kind of a mailbag and then we're going to take audience questions. And that's where things can go south. Because I don't know. Number one, I don't recall how many people he was expecting is going to be at this conference. Our friend Sean, who's organizing, and that'll change the dynamic. So if we're recording this live podcast and there's 23 people in the room, it may be kind of strange.
Yeah.
But also it'll affect what kind of questions they come up. So, you know, it could go really, really well. It could really be something different.
We should get in some like real curveball mailbag questions so that when everyone's in the room, you hear that they're going to answer this question. You know, we should save them. But yeah, traveling a little bit. You've been traveling a lot.
Yeah, it has been a very busy. I've been gone every other weekend, January, February.
It hasn't looked hard at times.
Well, I was in Dallas this last week. But before that, the last thing I did, we were on a cruise. Mm. We were on Family Life's marriage cruise. It's called Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise, which was through the Caribbean. So we went to St. Thomas.
While we were going
Dominican
through Snowmageddon
Republic.
Number two.
I know. We saw like the big dumping of snow happen while we were at sea.
Not only did you see it, you then posted pictures going, I hear there's snow.
Yeah, it was like my bare feet on the balcony room of our
rubbing it in, you know.
Yeah, I could see the water. It was fun. It was a fun cruise. You know, you're working, but we had a couple of days, two or three days, where we didn't have anything to do. So that was nice.
Yeah.
And it was fun to enjoy the cruise. And Becky's older sister and her sister's husband were on the cruise. Like they signed up for the cruise. So we got to do dinner with them every night and spend time with them. Do the little excursions with them. So that was nice to know know somebody. And it was fun. We would do it again. If there's any Family Life people listening, we've not been invited back yet. Yeah. But last year, it was July when we were invited to do this. So I've blocked off those dates. So just in case. No, I've blocked off next year's cruise dates.
I was laughing with somebody and they said, I know you sometimes travel with Jared and Becky or with Jared. Do you not think you could get on one of those cruises with Jared and Becky? And I literally said to them, the last time I think I did something with Jared, I went somewhere where someone says, I heard you didn't shoot a gun. Here's my gun. Let's go and shoot it. Do you remember that? And it was a little men's conference and they wanted to teach me how to shoot in the dark of night. And they were like, it's a big gun. It's just outside. And I'm thinking...
And you'd never shot a gun before?
No.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the places that Jared takes me.
There's no gun shooting on the cruise.
Yeah, and if we're in Iowa, maybe in a future podcast, we'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah, that's right. You know, one of these days, you'll be taking me places, Ross. You never know.
You never know.
Okay. Today's topic is conspiracy theories.
No, that's not what I wanted. There you go.
That's what I wanted right
there. That's the sound effect you want. Jared's very happy about this episode.
Yeah.
I am less so.
I'm a big fan of conspiracy theories.
Yes, we are all aware of that.
Do you have a favorite conspiracy theory?
No.
You don't have any?
None.
So this is going to be like the UFO episode with Ronnie Kurtz where I just talked about UFOs and he sat there and stared at me.
This is
going to
be a solo episode with a 1-star rating at the end of it.
This is our version of the UFO episode. Okay, so you have nothing to contribute. I mean, I was going to ask you if you had a favorite, you say no. So are there any that like have intrigued you that Okay, let me ask you this. Are there certain conspiracy theories that you just think, okay, that's super ridiculous? I know you think they're all ridiculous, but...
They're all ridiculous. So I'm going to touch on one. Okay, it's my personality. I'm always going to go to the heavy-hearted things.
Okay. Are you about to bring the podcast down?
I'm about to bring the podcast down. Okay, anyone that has a conspiracy theory on 9/11.
Oh, okay. I just think I agree.
Insane.
I agree. Yeah, steel doesn't melt at that temperature, and
it's the reason I think it's insane is because it comes from people that either haven't left their home in 40 years and supposedly they are experts, or it comes from intelligent individuals who hold very good jobs who clearly need to escape from whatever they're doing every day.
Yeah.
It's just, I cannot explain to you how vehemently opposed I am to conspiracy theories.
It's one of the things, some of the theories, because there's multiple theories about 9/11.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that, like, we have copious evidence. It was pre-social media, but there's so much footage.
Yes.
And for one reason, it's before social media. It's before the ability to even, you know, deep fake and those sorts of things. Yeah. There's just so much to have a conspiracy theory that, you know, that those guys weren't even on the planes or that they're remote controlled and it was a missile that went into the Pentagon. Yeah. And it's just, it's one of those things. It's just, it begs
so
belief.
This is where my mind goes. Did man walk on the moon? Who killed JFK?
JFK's mine.
So I'm going to go, if I wrote this on a piece of paper, I like, did we walk on the moon? Who killed JFK? I don't care. That's kind of where I am. Because
really?
you did or you didn't walk on the moon. Someone killed him. He's dead. Like, I'm trying.
Yeah.
If you know me, I'm not as insensitive as this is coming across. Uh-huh. Maybe I am. But
the didn't walk on the moon, that always cracks me up because to fake it would have cost less in some ways than actually carrying out the mission. They think like Stanley Kubrick got into some soundstage and filmed something and, you know, they created a vacuum. I've actually heard this, like they created a vacuum inside this space. And I was like, that's actually more complicated than it took to actually put a person on the moon.
I think it's because the conspiracy theories that I've heard about 9/11, JFK, the moon, and multiple other things, usually... And because I think Jared's going to be the abnormal one here, are people are just anti-government. They just like, the government lied to us. The government are hiding things. The government killed JFK. The government had to pull down America. And I'm just going, if you hate the government so much to blame them for everything, go live somewhere else. Like just...
Wow.
Go somewhere
America,
else.
America, love it or leave it.
We have just like...
from the Scotch guy.
Our ratings...
The Scotsman saying, so, America, love it or leave it.
Our ratings
commie
just
pinko.
Plummeted. Just plummeted.
So here's my thing. I don't know. So I love conspiracy theories. I'm fascinated by them. I don't believe 95% of them. The one that I do is a JFK assassination. And I actually don't have a particularly like favored theory. Like I don't have a, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. I just do not believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I think he was involved in some way. And I've heard the major, you know, it was the CIA, it was the Cubans, it was the mafia or some combination thereof. I can see sort of shreds of things and think, that some of those make sense. I don't have a pet theory, so I'm not like gung-ho on it was the government or it was – I just – the evidence to me, especially the bullet evidence and those sorts of things, leads me to believe that he did not act alone. So that's my sort of favorite one. But I love all the other ones even though I think they're all ludicrous, including things like – I've just wrote this in the show notes. So I mentioned 9/11, JFK, and
– the moon.
QAnon.
Oh, yeah.
So QAnon is like a borderline cult religion. Yep. I've watched some documentaries on it. Never for a second believe that there's like, you know, any truth to QAnon. Yeah. But I find it so fascinating. It's just interesting to me in the same way, like, you know, a mystery movie or something like that is like, I don't believe it, but I find it interesting. And lizard people. Have you ever heard this conspiracy theory? That lizard people exist. But there's actually people who believe this, that like Hillary Clinton and others are actually lizard people.
These are the same people that believe Loch Ness is real. Jared, do you believe Loch Ness is real?
No, but I want to.
These are the same people that believe Bigfoot's real.
Now you're stepping on toes. Okay. You're stepping on
so
some big
all
feet
I'm
now.
Gonna say is there is one crazy person in this room and one that's seen.
Oh, so okay. So we're gonna analyze this phenomenon. If you think we're just gonna, you know, for 30 minutes.
No,
just
talk about Jared's going to analyze it.
No, you'll have some things to say because you're so negative on them. But I've got one story that sort of opened up for me this inquiry of like, what is the motivation to devote? So we were in Sydney, Australia. We landed at the airport. We took a taxi from the airport to our hotel. It was about a 45-minute drive. It was not a short drive. Our cab driver spent the 45 minutes essentially trying to evangelize us for flat earth.
Yeah.
I knew the flat earth kind of thing existed. I'd never met anybody who actually believed in flat earth. Yeah. But this guy, I mean, he was so intricate and so detailed.
Yeah.
And I could barely get anything out. It was not a conversation. Mm-hmm. It was him telling us, proselytizing for flat earth. And it was the whole deal. It's, you know, it's a disc shape and there's some kind of, the firmament is some kind of dome of some kind, and there's really not satellites in outer space. There really is no outer space. Around the disk of the Earth is what we know as the Arctic, right? So North Pole, South Pole. No, it's actually a ring of ice that goes around and all these things. And I just thought, man, this guy is so bought in. When I asked about satellites or something, he was like, he pointed at the cell towers. It's like, it's all done off the Earth with like cell towers and things. When I mentioned like pilots, I was like, every pilot who's ever flown a plane, they're all in on this conspiracy. This is how you know conspiracy like doesn't work, when it has such a vast and would require literally thousands, if not millions of people to keep a secret.
Yeah.
So I was like, every pilot, every captain of a boat, like all these people are in on this thing and they all lie about it. And this guy, I'm not lying. He goes, I was a pilot. And I guess that was supposed to convince me that, and I asked him, I was like, well, what's on the other side of the ice, you know, on the other side of the disc? And he goes, that's the question. That's what they're trying to hide from us. So when we were done, like, I was so fascinated by this guy, by his zeal for this thing. And I don't even remember how he got off on this, but literally it was like 40 minutes of him talking about this thing. And I thought, what is in a mind that is so obsessed? It's one thing to be interested in the subject or even to have a pet theory. It's another thing like this is running your life and you're so obsessed. You got to convince others and you're an evangelist for the conspiracy theory. And I think you've got some things you might want to say about why are people interested or why are people obsessed or fascinated and why do they lose themselves in conspiracy theories?
Number one, I would have stopped the taxi 20 minutes into that ride. And
I was so fascinated. I was like, I'm going to hear this guy out.
I would have been out. I would have walked. I think it's an element of escapism. So I think there's probably two things at play. There's escapism and a knowledge that there is something more than what's just happening around us. And people want to know what's more, as in surely it can't all be just this. Surely there's more to life than what this is. But I think it's also escapism. So we've talked about movies before, and one of the ways I address movies for me is I usually want to escape. So a good movie to me kind of draws me away from the life around me, and I'm so focused on this. I believe that I could be in this movie type thing. I escape into it. I don't look at the artistry or anything for that. It's about escapism. And I think for me, that's like a stress response. I kind of use a movie to relax and to try and deal with any form of stress. I think sometimes people will do conspiracy theories or get so wrapped up in it because they either don't like the life they're in, they're struggling with something that they're going through, or even just their life is boring. And they have to have something of interest. And this is not to disparage taxi drivers or Uber drivers or whatever. Maybe they're just super bored with their life. And so they spend a lot of time on their phone, a lot of time researching some, you know, go down the rabbit trails. And do they actually believe it? Probably not. But they're just so excited that they have something to tell and talk about that over time they begin to believe it because they escape into it. They get a Jared Wilson in their taxi and they can talk 45 minutes. If they don't have something to talk about, do they just sit there in silence? And again, I think this is more about something about their life is drawing them into this. Now, that in some senses answers the people that are so engrossed into it that they'll evangelize it. It doesn't answer you.
What do you
who
mean?
Who takes an interest in it and is intrigued by it, but it's not so intrigued by it that you go on an evangelism of convincing people. So I think there's a spectrum here of what we're really talking about is the people that so fully buy into the conspiracy theory that it becomes their life. Well, if you take that conspiracy theory away from them, what is their life and how do they feel about that life and how do they engage with that life? I'd be really intrigued if it's true that this guy was, for example, a pilot and now a taxi driver.
I have doubts.
I have doubts on that too. But if that's true, what happened for someone to go from being a pilot to a taxi driver? There's life in that. There's a story in that.
Yeah.
And escapism comes into it.
Yeah. It could be mental illness if he legit was a pilot and now is.
But even an illness is still a story that then you go, I used to be a pilot and now I'm not in the sky anymore. So I'm going to convince everyone flat earth because then that will help me handle the fact that I'm no longer flying. We would like to take a moment to invite you to campus for our spring preview day on April 11th. Preview day is a great way to explore how you can be trained in your calling for the church and for the kingdom. At preview day, you'll get a behind the scenes look at what life at Midwestern Seminary and Spurgeon College would look, including mock lectures, meeting seminary leaders, and connecting with current students on campus. Whether you're interested in online or residential studies, we hope you'll consider joining us for preview day. Reserve your spot at mbts.edu/preview. And who knows, you might just run into myself and Jared.
So a couple of things, and then I want to circle back. So I think the first thing that you were talking about, why are people drawn to these? Why do they get especially wrapped up in conspiracy theories? I think one explanation is fear. There's a fear of the unknown, or there's just a fear of being taken advantage of, or a fear of missing out, or just an anxiety in general. And the way we explain our anxieties is to, in some way, try to get our arms around it. If I can explain this, if I can define it, if I can figure out what's causing this, I can project. And especially if it's hard to define, right? Like, I don't know why this anxiety is happening. So I have to project. And of course, it's a vast conspiracy that's out there. And that's what's causing this, right? And the other thing I think is just like a resentment or anger, like you mentioned, sort of like against the government or something like that. But, you know, it could be other things as well. There's a resentment. And it may even begin as a resentment about how my life is going.
Yes.
And it just becomes I'm angry at the world. Well, my anger's got to go somewhere. I've got to have, and maybe it has a seed in something that happened, you know, you know, the guys who, you know, feel like the government zoned them out of their, you know, their property or overburdened taxes or something like that, or they were done dirty by their military service or something, or they're just angry with the other side of the political aisle being in power, or there's an anger, a resentment that leads to a kind of scapegoating. I need to explain this, and there has to be some kind of explanation for why they keep winning and why they're the ones in control or why they're out for the little guy. And I think all of that can be, you know, kind of put under the larger umbrella of, I think there's this almost secret knowledge. The reason why it's almost like religious is because there is a, you know, a little glory. There's a glory in it somehow.
Yeah. They know.
A sense of one. Yeah, it's a gnosis. It's a secret knowledge. And so there's some kind of wonder, like I have figured it out.
Yes.
This is the secret of the universe or the secret of our country or the secret of whatever. And I have discovered it. And because I'm the one who put the clues together. And you get together with other people who see those same clues and you create this little community.
Yeah.
It's this sort of anti-church or like a parallel. That's why it's like religious or cultic almost. Yeah. And I think what explains, this is going to sound like I'm patting myself on the back. I think that what explains people like me, I won't just say me, but people like me who have an interest but don't get swallowed up is we see the greater glory of Christ.
Yes.
And so I can see the lesser glory of this thing and go, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Whereas other people, if they don't have Christ who's satisfying that need,
so it becomes
all consuming, this thing.
You know? I can see that in children, actually. If you think about this in terms of, you know, when I watch a movie with our kids, one of them will often go, I know it. I know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah,
or at the end of the movie, I knew it. I just didn't want to say it. And, you know, you get this, like, you can see them. They're starting to understand the movie and they've got to it before everyone else. But then they feel so saddened when you go, well, yeah, that's obvious. That's what's going to happen in the movie. And then they realize, oh, mom and dad already knew. And there is that sense of like this excitement that they have something. But you also see it in kids. What do kids tend to do when they're suffering or when they're really happy? Either way, either emotion, imagine. They create things. They create worlds. They do things. They craft. They have things whirling in their mind. I don't think that goes away when you're an adult.
Yeah.
I think when you go through suffering, you dream things, you think things, you revolve your life around things. When my dad died, for me, it was sport. And that's not conspiracy theory, but at nighttime, I would dream about being, you know, the best cricketer, the best football player, whatever. And in that dream, I would dream about dad being able to see me from heaven and achieve these things. And I become consumed by that. Why? Because I didn't want to know the reality, which is dad's never going to watch me play football again. And I think when you grow up into being an adult and you have these conspiracy theories, I think there's something that you're trying to fill, but sometimes you don't even know what you're trying to fill. You know, sometimes you don't know that I don't believe in a God, so I have to elevate something to God status in my life. Or I genuinely feel saddened, so I have to find something that excites me. And I've just found this tiny little bit of information on flat earth that I can now delve into. It fills the void, but you still don't even know why that void is there in the first place. It might be, and I think this all explains people that have gone through something or who are going through something. It doesn't explain, I think, the people that on the outside, everything looks well, the job, the family, the kids. And I think the only way to explain that is realizing, because that still in itself is a void.
Yes.
That if you don't have God, if you don't have Christ, your family will not be enough. The job's not enough. When I used to work in recruitment, I would see the same guys come back every 6 months, a year going, I want this job. Why? I'm looking for a new challenge. Why? Because I would like more money. Why? Because my family need more. There's this constant drive. I need more. This life isn't enough. And I think conspiracy theories fill that void. And, you know, take 9/11. As a non-American, I can't fully grasp the pain that America went through that. I can't fully grasp the ripple effects that had on everyone that has a police officer in the family or a fireman in the family. I will never truly understand that because I'm not from here. But what I can understand is to avoid sitting in that pain and mourning in that pain and taking that pain to a higher power. I'm talking the world thinking like this. We know we would go to God. You feel that. You smother it. You try and get rid of it. And how do you do that? Through anger, through fighting, through trying to convince yourself, this is what's happened. Anything so that I don't have to feel the true pain of asking the question, is my loved one with God or not? Yeah. Is there a God? And if there is a God, how could this happen? And so we do anything we can to get away from that. And I think that's why, for me, I'm just not intrigued whatsoever in the conspiracy theory. I'm more intrigued in, why do you believe this? And actually, it's interesting because part of this conversation is, why do Christians believe in conspiracy theories?
Yeah. Well, whenever I see, in particular, Christians who seem obsessive about anything really that's not of God,
yeah,
but particularly like political conspiracy theories or just political things or even like denominational or thing, you know, like there's a, you know, they're obsessed with what has to explain this concern I have or this, you know, there's a liberal conspiracy to take over the institutions or, you know, you know
we've seen that in the SBC world. Yeah, we've seen that.
So when I see like an obsessive about that, like it's one thing to think, oh, I think there may be some drift happening here. It's another thing to be like obsessive and just constantly, I'm thinking that's someone that's not staring at Jesus enough.
Yeah, I agree.
Like if you profess Christ, like, why do you find this more passionate, more glorious than the good news of Jesus? You're not looking at Jesus enough, I think. Isaiah 8:12 says, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. Connecting, I think, the question of fear, the prospect of fear, with falling in line with, you know, a greater sort of, you know, group that's assigning conspiracy to things. And then I just like, you know, maybe we can wrap up by just talking about, okay, so how should we navigate these things? Because I know there's somebody listening going, just because there's a conspiracy theory doesn't mean it's not true.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, you know, there have been conspiracy theories over history that have proven to be true.
Yeah.
I don't think the lizard people is going to be one of them.
No.
Or the flat earth or things that.
Or you know, Loch Ness.
Well, yeah, okay. Anyway, there have been ones that have been proven true. I think the instructions from Jesus about being shrewd as serpents, but as innocent as doves.
Yeah.
That's a really helpful, like, so I don't want to fall for everything.
Yeah.
If there is a conspiracy, I want to be wise about that. I want to be shrewd. I don't want to be taken advantage of. At the same time, I want to be as innocent as a dove, which means I'm not going to lash out. I'm not going to become obsessive. I'm not going to, you know, make an idol of my interest in these things. I do want to have a pure heart along with my shrewd or suspicious mind, you know.
It's also thinking through a gospel lens. Let's say a conspiracy theory is proven to be true. What impact does that have on the gospel and our evangelism of the gospel? So again, take the big one, the 9/11. If that was indeed true, that it was the government, what impact does that now have on us as Christians as we share the gospel? What impact I think is that would make a lot of Americans disbelieve a lot of things.
Yeah.
How can we ever believe something is true? So that means when they look at Christianity, how can we ever truly know that what you're saying is true? It's just 9/11 all over again. And so I think what we have to be aware of is if anything is proven true, how do we show that the gospel is truth, that it can be trusted? So again, you're almost thinking then back to the gospel and back to scripture. Right now, if someone said to you, oh, scripture is just a conspiracy, it's just a religious conspiracy. Well, how would you prove the gospel? Mm. How would you go about saying that this Jesus is true, this death and resurrection is true, it's not a conspiracy theory, here we go. And I'm thinking 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus appeared to one, the 12, 13, the 500, then the one again. Like this isn't just, as you say, a whole world trying to lie about something.
Yeah.
That's just too hard to do. And so I'm thinking more gospel lens here of when we talk about conspiracy theories, we need to be thinking about, you know, why is someone's mind going there? When a conspiracy theory is proven true, we need to think about what's the impact on people's belief in the gospel. When a conspiracy theory is finally proven to be false, as in like, let's just say some evidence came through about walking on the moon and finally like it's the death blow to a conspiracy theory. There's going to be a lot of people that are still angry about that. And then you're going to have two sides, the people that believe that evidence and the people that don't. How can we as Christians step into that world and go, your life doesn't have to be about proving yourself right or wrong. It can be about blessed peace of knowing Jesus. So I think spiritualizing it to some extent of understanding that I don't think there is innocency in being consumed by a conspiracy theory. I think there's innocency, as you say, about going, that's intriguing. I wonder why people think that. I'm the guy that's going to jump out of the taxi. You're the guy that's going to stay in the taxi. But I think as Christians, we are not to be consumed by these things. Yeah. And especially when it comes to, you know, Jesus is coming back on this day, prepared, the world's going to end. Scripture is very clear. We have no clue when Christ is going to come back. There's no date. We're not meant to know. It's a thief in the night. So if anybody ever tells you this is the exact hour, do not believe them because scripture is clear. So bring it back to the spiritual world. Bring it back to scripture. Bring it back to the gospel. What's the thing? The prophecies, I'm trying to think of the verse, bring every prophecy to scripture. I cannot think of the verse.
Test all things.
Test all things.
What is true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So test all these things with scripture. If scripture is so clear that it says we will never know when Jesus comes back, it'll just happen.
Yeah.
Then the random Joe blogs on the street that isn't wearing all these clothes doesn't know when he's coming back. So don't get consumed by these things. Mm.
Finally, brothers, Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Maybe your obsession with conspiracy theories can be reduced to a curiosity or interest if you can replace the domination of your mind with thinking about lovely things, thinking about the things of heaven and spiritual things. If you enjoy the podcast, please give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Maybe one of these days the Scottish government will stop covering up the Loch Ness phenomenon. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church.
You've been listening to the For the Church podcast, hosted by Jared Wilson, found online at ftc.co. This resource is brought to you by Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, where we train leaders for the church.